between logic and beyond the logic, right? He's playing with this. One is to do your best. Second is to hope and rely on the good luck and all of that stuff, right? He goes step by step by step because he's following the things that you do. Okay, first he said, listen, here is no good. Let's go somewhere else. The donkey said, what? He said, I know, but it's okay here. It's something, the routine. Why should we risk? Said, oh, come on. You have to do it because of this and this and this. He started saying, yes, but you know, there is always the difference between this and that. Rumi got in a paragraph, right? Then, again, the conversation. This time, the fox is talking a little bit different. He let go of that religion stuff, and big saying came to the point. The point is that, listen, when I tell you to do this, you don't do it for yourself. You do it for all your friends. Means the team will go there. No I, us. He talks about the us, okay, a group. I say, you have to go with the group. And the donkey will say, yes.
The ass answered the fox, saying, trust in God is the best way of earning a livelihood. For everyone needs to trust in God and cry, O God, bring this work of mine to success. And prayer involves trust in God, and trust in God is the means of livelihood that is independent of any other means, etc.
Okay. Almost the last part of this dialogue, if you could call it dialogue, yes.
He said, in the two worlds, I do not know any means of livelihood superior to trust in my Lord. I know nothing to be compared with the acquisition of thanksgiving to Him, in order that thanksgiving to God may bring the daily bread and the increase. Their dispute was prolonged in mutual altercation. They became incapable of questioning and answering.
Means what? Rumi put two sides. This is saying this, this is saying this, this is saying this, this is saying. And they say, you know what? This could go forever. Because logically, you could step one side of this and insist. And it goes on forever. So, it doesn't work this way. Yes.
Afterwards, he said to him, mark the kingdom and the prohibition. Do not cast yourselves into destruction. In a barren desert covered with stones, self-denial is folly. God's world is wide. Move from this place towards the meadow and browse there on the verdure round about the river.
You see, he started with what? The paragraph started with the talking of the donkey, right? Donkey said, you know what? Somehow, in these two worlds, the best thing I see is this tabakul and so on, right? Then Rumi said, they talked too much and they couldn't really come to the conclusion. Then, after that, he told who? Is the foxy again, because it's Arabic, you see. Then it comes that Arabic part again. The fox will say, "La talhu ba'idihim talaka." Yeah.
Move from this place towards the meadow and browse there on the verdure round about the river. A meadow verdant like paradise, where the verdure grows up to the waist. Happy the animal that goes thither. Amidst the verdure, a camel would become invisible. Thus, on every side is a running fountain. There the animals are in comfort and security. From asininity, he said, he did not say to him, O accursed one, thou art from there. How art thou so wretched?
Are you listening? I hope you are. Okay, Rumi made the conversation. One is talking about tawakkul, the other one, try your best, and so, have the belief and have faith. Okay. They talked and they talked, they talked. And Rumi came in and said, oh, this is a long conversation. It doesn't end. Right? But, okay, the fox has started again this time. There is no logic. There is just tricking your greed. Talking about the beautiful place over there. In all religions, they talk about a paradise which is beautiful, and if you do this, you will be there, and over there, you will not get old, and you will be young, and you will have sex 1,000 times a day, and blah, 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 blah. This is what they talk about. Exactly here, he's doing that. He will say, yeah, it's good over there, you don't know, blah, blah. And Rumi stopped again and said, you know, this stupid ass, this donkey. If he was clever, he would say, okay, if it is a good place, why are you this miserable? Because when they promise you that blah, 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 you don't look at them and say, why are you this bad? If you know that there is that good place, you should be in a good, better position. But he's so stupid, he doesn't say this. This is how he turns the conversation around somehow. Yes.
Where is thy gaiety and fatness and comeliness? What is this lean, starved body of thine? If thy description of the meadow is not falsehood and fiction, then why is thine eye not intoxicated by it? These greedy looks and this blindness are the result of thy beggarliness, not of sovereignty. Since thou hast come from the fountain, how art thou dry? And if thou art the gland of the musk deer, where is the fragrance of musk? How is there no trace in thee of that which thou sayest and describest, O exalted one?
Okay, if you find time and you're relaxed and you could go over and over, read this again and again, because it looks like a conversation. But if you pay attention, he is bringing in the really essence of what he's talking about. He says, listen, do you remember in book 3 when we were talking about going and learning everything and trying to guess? He said, first of all, do not trust the peasant one, remember? Do not trust the people except you could see it in their face, because when we're talking about an enlightened fellow, it is visible if you pay attention. It's not something that you go and play with it. It's something that should be touched even. Let me explain it to you. To explain it, he will bring in one of the most famous examples. Do you know what camel is? Right? Have you seen ever a camel? No, not really. Okay, there was this camel coming in, and somebody said, oh, you lovely camel, where are you coming from? They said, I'm coming from the lovely bath, the steam bath of your palace. Yes, it's quite visible on your knees. Do you know the knees of the camel? They drop on it. Yeah. Always, that's how they sit. So they have a very filthy... it's like something that you don't know. Maybe your grandparent. The heel of the human being. The normal one. Not the one you have that you clean it and you put it in a sock and a shoe and blah. If you walk, then that's the punishment point, right? The camel, that part is quite visible because he's enormous and he should boom, boom, fall on this knees. So whenever the camel will say, I'm coming from the bath of your palace, you should say, yes, it's quite visible from your knees. This is a verse to explain something, that listen, when I say visibility, there is a point of visibility here we talk about, and we have difficulties to explain it to everyone. And that's when we talk about these enlightened fellows. We say this enlightened fellow looks at you and will read whatever is in your mind and it is in your life. Even he knows what was the cause of you before coming to this universe. And he will see it. Nobody believes it. Because they will say, how come that I don't? Yes, you don't. Like if you're sitting down and playing, no matter what, a psychiatrist will see all your shortcomings and complexes and everything. So here he will say, it is, don't argue about it. It is visible. Yes, a lot of people, they don't see what's in you. Okay, you could pretend that you're a good one and these are stupid fellows, they're fooled. But the clever one, they will see it. Which one do you prefer? To be accepted by the stupid one or having your real image? Here he's explaining that one, that don't forget that sometimes something is visible. Yes.
Parable of the camel, explaining that when someone tells of his good fortune and you do not perceive in him any appearance or sign of welfare, there is reason to suspect that he is an imitator therein. A certain man asked the camel, "Hey, whence comest you, O thou whom fortune attends?" He replied, "From the hot bath in thy street." Said the other, "Truly, 'tis manifest in thy knees." Pharaoh, the obstinate rebel, saw Moses' snake. He begged for a respite and showed meekness. The men of intelligence said, "This man ought to have been fiercer, since he is the Lord of the judgment." Whether the miracle was a dragon or a snake, what has become of the pride and wrath proper to his divinity? If he is the supreme Lord seated on the throne, what is this blandishment on account of a single worm? So long as your fleshly soul is intoxicated with the desert, with the dessert and date wine, know that your spirit has not beheld the cluster belonging to the unseen, to the world unseen.
What is he talking about? What is this? Finish that two verses where that famous stuff, he explained it, that yes, there are something visible. Then he went to Moses and Pharaoh and the serpent. Do you remember? There is this stick, which is a fantastic one, the best tool. Do you remember the lecture he was giving to God? Oh, for the first time when God saw Moses and said, "What's in your hand?" That this, this stick is what I'm walking with. And when there is a wolf coming here, I will fight with it. Then I will push the trees, leaves for my, I'm a shepherd, and talks a lot about this one. Why? Because that one is the magical one which turns to the serpent. When? In the presence of Pharaoh. first. This is